The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord. It was Christmas Eve, and I was seated in my chair in the chancel of Trendelspring Lutheran Church in Mechanicsburg. I was just preaching at this service while my associate was assuming the duties of presiding minister. This was our arrangement. One of us would preside when the other preached, so I did not have to pay that much attention to what was going on during the service. I could relax a little bit. Didn't have to worry about missing a cue. I've always found it easier to preach than to lead worship, that is, once the sermon is prepared. Thus, I was relaxed among the wreaths, poinsettias, trees, candles, and people that adorned the worship space. It was then that I noticed that the flame on one of the 7 candles on the candelabra just a few feet in front of me was struggling to survive. It was the one at the end closest to me, right in my face. At any moment, it would flicker and breathe its last and die. Had the wick inserted in the cream white cylinder slipped down, or had it simply aged beyond use? Or perhaps the candle was not made ready to live through the entire service due to a lack of oil. That will frighten some setup people. That would be a foolish thing, not to have enough oil in a candle if one expects to light the joyful way through the entire service to the very end, whenever that end might be. Right at the beginning of the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, that is our gospel reading today, Jesus tells us that 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The reason why he tells us this from the outset is that we cannot tell this just by looking at them. All 10 have come to the wedding. All 10 have their lamps aglow with expectation. All 10 presumably have on their bridesmaid gowns. We would never guess from appearances that half are wise and half are foolish. It is not the looks, the lamps, or long dresses that set the wise apart from the foolish. It is readiness. Readiness. 5 of the bridesmaids are ready for the bridegroom to be delayed, but the other 5 are not. The wise have enough oil for the wedding feast to start whenever the bridegroom arrives. The foolish have only enough for their own timetables. 5 are prepared and ready even for delay. 5 are not. Today, many so-called Christian Zionists believe that the long-awaited return of Jesus to this troubled planet is at an end, but are not prepared for what will most likely be a considerable delay once again. Indeed, the gospel reading this morning was written specifically to encourage a young first century church to live in faith, hope, and love at all times. In the reality also that Jesus had not as yet returned to them in the manner expected, at the time expected, and may not return during their lifetime. As centuries passed after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, this idea of placing human timetables on God's plans based upon a few supposedly codified verses of Scripture have gotten into people's minds. Portions of Scripture, especially the book of Revelation, has caused some people of faith to despair that Jesus has not returned in their generation, as though their generation is somehow more special than other generations. Some, especially Christian Zionists of the last four centuries, have even tried to force God's hand using the Bible as their alarm clock. For example, in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah said that God shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Taking prophetic texts like this one out of context, combined with some misinterpreted apocalyptic passages in Scripture and employing considerable biblical gymnastics, some theologians have put forth the idea that the formation of the Jewish nation of Israel in 1948 signaled the impending return of Jesus to earth after, of course, a period of warfare. Well, Israel has experienced many a battle since then. And now that the Israel-Hamas war is underway, the end must be upon us again, right? I don't think so. Most likely, there have been those in every generation since the ascension of Christ who have been awake for the signs of his return and have found a certain disappointment. Many an evangelist has built a literal mansion on earth proclaiming such divisive nonsense. Good people, bad people. Do we not have that today? Even today, Christian Zionists point of view would encourage the spread of this war to other nations in the belief that such bloodshed will usher in the return of Christ today. What an arrogant and self-righteous view that human action like this can in any way determine the will of God. What a bushel of hatred that would exacerbate human division and the slaughter of thousands. What a denial of the cross of Christ that would seek to obliterate God's love for this world. Some folks need to consider the whole of Scripture, or at least consider our parable today that says, "Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." We live today in the in-between times, in between our Lord's death, resurrection, ascension, and when he will come again. This parable encourages us to live our lives as if Christ is with us now, because Christ is, as he will return also. We believe that Christ is present in word and sacrament, in our sisters and brothers in need, in the church, which is the body of Christ. Supposedly, Martin Luther said that if he knew that tomorrow the world would end, he would plant his apple tree. True or not, it represents his theology. John Wesley, an Anglican theologian, when asked what he would do if his Lord would return tomorrow, said, "I would go to bed and go to sleep, wake the next morning and go on with my work, for I would want him to find me doing what he had appointed." Such faith leads to a continued living in the midst of the triumphs and disasters of life by making wise decisions based upon God's gift of daily bread. There is supposedly a true story from one of the survivors of the Titanic. When the ship was sinking, a frightened but fortunate woman found her place in a lifeboat that was about to be lowered into the raging North Atlantic. She suddenly thought of something she needed, so she asked permission to return to her stateroom before they cast off, and she was given 3 minutes. 3 minutes. But any later and they would leave without her. She ran across the deck of that already slanted at a dangerous angle deck. She raced through the gambling room with all of the money now rolling around the ship ankle deep. She rushed into her stateroom and quickly pushed aside her diamond rings and expensive bracelets and necklaces as she reached along a shelf above her bed. What she grabbed were 3 small oranges, and she quickly rushed back to the lifeboat and got in. Now, 30 minutes earlier, she would not have chosen a bushel of oranges over the smallest of diamonds. But the end had boarded the Titanic, and now everything was different, and all values were transformed. Priceless things became worthless, worthless things became priceless. Some events have the power to transform the way we look at the world and what is most important for us. The parable Jesus tells us in today's gospel reading is about the coming of Christ at the fulfillment of God's good time. The woman on the sinking Titanic understood that she must make preparations for life on a lifeboat, and 3 oranges would be infinitely more precious than diamonds. Likewise, our parable tells us in this world when Christ may return at any moment, or when Christ meets us at our own death, we also need to be living with wise anticipation of what is needful. Readiness in the Gospel of Matthew is living life in the kingdom, living with the quality of life described for us in the Sermon on the Mount. And many can do this for short periods of time, but when the kingdom is delayed, problems arise. Being a peacemaker for a day is not as demanding as being a peacemaker year after year when hostilities break out again and again in the Holy Land. Ukraine, Ethiopia, Yemen, Mali, Somalia, Central African Republic, and so on. Likewise, being merciful for an evening can be pleasant, can even be enjoyable. Being merciful for a lifetime when the bridegroom is delayed, well, that requires preparedness. At the beginning of a life of faith, you cannot tell the followers of Jesus apart. They all have lamps. They all are excited about the wedding banquet. They all grow weary and sleep from time to time. They all know how to sing, Lord, Lord. But deep into the night, when we spot some person attempting in vain to fan a dying flame of faith, then we begin to distinguish between wisdom and foolishness. And those who are wise and remembering of that cross of oil they received at baptism, they just decide they can gather enough oil from among them to keep that flickering flame of faith alive in someone in need of the grace of God. As they recall more words from the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. That flickering flame I watched so many Christmas Eves ago kept burning until the very end of that service. And the light of our service of God and neighbor needs to keep burning brightly until the bridegroom arrives for us.
Amen.